Imagine you're checking your holding company's P&L for the quarter.
Right, the classic end-of-quarter pairing.
Exactly. And you realize your shiny new AI customer service agent just, completely vaporized your entire operating margin.
Oh, yeah.
And not because the tech failed, but actually because it succeeded.
It worked too well.
Right. Your portfolio companies deployed this agent, and it had, I don't know, a million perfectly polite, emotionally resonant 30-minute conversations with your customers.
Which sounds great on paper.
It sounds amazing
Yeah.
until you realize your cloud vendor silently billed you exponentially for like every single second of those calls.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that is the exact nightmare scenario playing out across boardrooms right now.
It really is.
We've basically crossed this threshold in 2026 where the voice AI tech is almost universally incredible, but the unit economics and the compliance
Go
architectures,
to minefield.
a complete minefield, yeah.
Which, is the entire mission of this deep dive today. If you're the holding company founder listening to this, you are probably looking at a massive stack of vendor proposals right now.
Doubtlessly.
And you've seen the flashy demos, right? Where the AI laughs and sighs and naturally interrupts you.
Oh, they demo so well.
They do. But we are stripping away the marketing fluff today. We've compiled independent 2026 benchmarks from artificial analysis, real-world developer implementation guides, cloud cost calculators, and the actual buried compliance documentation.
And stuff they don't put on the landing page.
Exactly. We are going to map out exactly who wins, who loses, the true cost of scaling, and the brutal reality of healthcare compliance. Okay, let's unpack it.
Yeah, and to map that out, we really have to look at how the power dynamics have fundamentally fractured over the last, say, 12 months.
Right.
If you look at the heavyweights, so 11labs, InWorld, Cartesia, OpenAI, Google, DeepGram, the whole idea of a single, quote-unquote, best vendor, it just doesn't exist anymore.
You can't just buy one size fits all.
No, absolutely not. You are buying specific architectures for very specific business outcomes.
Well, let's start by looking at the reigning heavyweight champion because 11labs is, they're still the household name.
Oh, definitely.
If one of my portfolio companies tells me, hey, we're integrating voice AI, I'm just assuming they're defaulting to 11labs.
Most do, yeah.
And reading through these 2026 benchmarks, they still hold the crown for absolute premium quality, don't they?
They do. For brand-forward luxury applications, 11labs remains the gold standard. I mean, their multilingual V2 and the newer V3 models are just staggering pieces of technology.
Yeah, the V3 is wild.
It is. They offer over 70 languages, but it's not just translation, it's the emotional prosody.
The tone of it.
Exactly. The model understands the context of a paragraph so deeply that it actually knows to lower its volume and like add a breathy texture if the text implies a secret,
Wow.
or it'll project its voice if it's simulating a crowded room. It's real performance. And on the transcription side, their Scribe V2 model is hitting a 2.3% word error rate.
Which is basically human-level transcription.
Practically, yes.
So if I'm producing an audiobook or I have a luxury concierge brand where the emotional texture of the voice is the literal product,
Yeah.
I am paying the premium for 11labs.
Without hesitation.
But as a holding company looking at, say, millions of transactional customer service calls across a portfolio, defaulting to 11labs feels a bit like buying a fleet of Rolls-Royces to drive for Uber.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Like the quality is undeniably amazing, but the unit economics just seem completely wrong for a high-volume call center.
And the independent benchmarks entirely back up that instinct. If we look at the artificial analysis speech arena,
Right, the A/B testing guys.
yeah, they use blind human A/B testing. So very much like an optometrist asking, which is clearer, lens A or lens B.
Right.
They use that to generate an objective ELO rating for these models. An 11labs V3 model sits at a highly respectable ELO of 1179.
Okay, 1179.
But it was actually dethroned by InWorld.
Wait, stop. You're telling me InWorld is beating 11labs in blind human listening tests?
The data doesn't lie.
What's the catch here?
No catch on the quality. InWorld's real-time TTS 1.5 max model took the number one spot with an ELO of 12,236.
Wow.
Yeah, the public literally prefers the sound and cadence of the InWorld model. What's fascinating here is the price delta, because that's the metric that should really matter to your P&L.
Okay, lay it on me.
InWorld is charging $10 per 1 million characters generated.
$10.
$10. Depending on your enterprise tier, 11labs is charging anywhere from $120 to over $200 for that exact same volume.
A 12 to 20 times price difference.
Yeah.
For a model that is technically scoring higher in blind A-B tests.
That's what the benchmarks show.
Okay, if I'm running 10 million customer service interactions a month, that price delta is the difference between a highly profitable AI initiative and a catastrophic financial liability.
Exactly. And InWorld isn't the only challenger dismantling the old monolith here. Because cost is one vector, right? But speed is another.
Speed is huge.
In conversational AI, latency is the ultimate friction point. Because if an AI takes too long to reply, the human brain literally perceives a dropped call.
Right. Or the customer just gets frustrated and starts talking over the agent.
Exactly. And I see Cartesia repeatedly mentioned in our sources regarding speed.
Yeah, Cartesia's all over the dev forums right now.
Because Cartesia has optimized for one specific metric, time to first audio byte, or TTFAB.
TTFAB, okay.
It is literally the measurement of how many milliseconds it takes for the very first sliver of synthesized audio to hit the speaker after the AI formulates a thought.
Like how fast it can actually start making a sound.
Exactly. And Cartesia's Sonic 3 model has pushed that down to 40 milliseconds.
Okay, put 40 milliseconds into context for me. Like,
yeah.
How does that actually feel to a human caller?
Well, human reaction time just to process auditory stimuli is roughly 150 to 200 milliseconds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Cartesia is generating the audio faster than your brain can even register that it's their turn to speak.
That's insane.
By comparison, 11labs' fastest model, their flash tier, sits around 75 milliseconds.
Which is still fast.
Both are incredibly fast. But Cartesia's fundamental architecture is purpose-built for that rapid-fire, real-time conversational turn-taking. You know, where people interrupt each other.
Okay, so the vendor landscape is completely segmented.
Absolutely.
I don't just buy 11labs by default anymore. I buy 11labs for premium emotion. I buy InWorld for high-quality scale and margin protection. And I buy Cartesia when absolute blistering speed is the requirement.
That is exactly how a holding company should view the market in 2026.
But, you know, knowing who has the best underlying tech is only half the battle.
The easy half.
Right. Let's dig into how these vendors actually meter and bill you. Because looking at these developer implementation guides, the gap between what a pilot costs and what scale costs is horrifying.
Yeah, this brings us to what is probably the most dangerous financial trap in the 2026 voice AI market, the native speech-to-speech models.
The ones heavily popularized by OpenAI's GPT-4o real-time API.
That's the one.
Because on paper, this API looks like a massive operational win.
It does.
It natively processes the audio in real time. There are fewer moving parts to string together. And the headline pricing looks, you know, totally manageable for a pilot.
Well, a pilot, sure.
But the developer reports in our stack show massive hidden cost explosions the second this gets put into production. I was reading a breakdown from a dev team who ran a simple weekend integration test.
Oh, I read this one.
Yeah, and they blew through hundreds of dollars on just a handful of basic troubleshooting conversations. How is that even mathematically possible?
It comes down to a billing mechanism called context accumulation.
Context accumulation.
Okay. To understand why this destroys your margins, you have to understand how these multimodal speech-to-speech models actually process language. They read in tokens, which, you know, you can think of as the syllables or puzzle pieces of words.
Okay, so every word I speak and every word the AI speaks uses up these token puzzle pieces.
Precisely. But here is the critical flaw. Large language models have no persistent memory. They essentially have the memory of a goldfish. So in order to have a logical, flowing conversation with you, the AI has to reread the entire history of the conversation on every single turn just to remember what you're talking about.
Wait. So they don't just charge me for the new words they generate?
Yeah.
They recharge me for the entire past conversation.
Every single time you speak.
You're kidding.
I'm not. The math grows exponentially. Minute one of a customer service call might cost you 30 cents.
Fine.
But by minute 15, because the AI is constantly reprocessing that massive accumulating history of the call to generate its next response, that same minute of talking might cost you over a dollar.
Oh my God.
And by minute 30 of a complex technical support call, you could be paying $1.50 or more per minute. You are quite literally being penalized for having successful in-depth conversations with your customers.
That is basically a ticking time bomb. If I deploy that across a portfolio handling thousands of 20-minute support calls daily, my cloud bill will bankrupt the department.
It happens faster than you'd think.
So if the native speech-to-speech models are financially toxic for long interactions, what's the architectural alternative? Like, how do my companies get the conversational flow without the compounding extortion?
You mandate what is known as a chained pipeline.
Chained pipeline.
Instead of using one massive native audio model, you decouple the tasks into three distinct specialized systems.
Okay, walk me through it.
First, you use a dedicated speech-to-text model like, say, DeepGram Nova 3 to transcribe the caller's audio into text.
Got it.
Then you send that text to a standard LLM to generate a text reply. And finally, you send that text reply to a text-to-speech model like InWorld or Cartesia to synthesize the audio back to the caller.
Okay, intuitively that sounds worse.
Why?
Because I'm forcing my developers to chain three separate systems together over the internet instead of using one native pipeline. Doesn't that introduce terrible latency?
You might add a couple hundred milliseconds of latency, but the cost dynamics fundamentally shift in your favor. Because you are using text to communicate between the internal models, the cost stays flat. It hovers around 15 cents per minute, whether the call is 2 minutes long or 2 hours long.
Ah, because text tokens are so much cheaper than native audio tokens.
Exactly.
And the developer guides highlight another massive financial advantage of the chained pipeline regarding the system prompt.
Yes. This is crucial. Here's where it gets really interesting. To make an AI agent act like your company's representative, you have to give it a system prompt.
Right, the instruction manual.
Yeah, it's a massive block of text, sometimes thousands of words, telling the AI who it is, what your return policies are, and how to behave. In a chained pipeline, providers like Anthropic, DeepSeek, and Google allow you to utilize prompt caching.
Meaning, I don't have to pay to send that giant rulebook to the AI every single time a customer speaks.
Correct. They hold that massive prompt in their server's memory. Since you are repeatedly referencing that exact same rulebook with every single turn of the call, caching it drops the cost of processing those core instructions by up to 90%.
That is massive.
And you simply cannot get those exact same caching economics in the natively accumulating audio models yet.
Okay, so for any long-form customer interaction, a chained pipeline is basically a non-negotiable financial necessity.
Absolutely.
Let's push the math even further. If we are scaling up to millions of interactions, even a flat-rate chained pipeline in the cloud is essentially renting infrastructure by the minute. At what point does a holding company need to stop paying the cloud toll and start owning the infrastructure?
The data actually dictates a very clear tipping point for self-hosting.
Okay, what's the number?
If your applications are processing between 5 and 10 million tokens per month, you're at the break-even point between renting cloud APIs and running your own servers.
5 to 10 million.
Yeah. But if your portfolio companies are processing 100 million or more tokens monthly, which, by the way, is remarkably easy to hit across a few active contact centers, the math aggressively demands that you self-host. Building your own stack using open source models can save a holding company between $5 million and $50 million annually compared to relying entirely on commercial cloud APIs.
That mirrors the evolution of standard enterprise software perfectly, doesn't it?
It's the exact same cycle.
You start with massive, locked-in vendor contracts, and eventually, these sophisticated players realize they can build agile, in-house stacks using open source tools just to protect their EBITDA.
Yes. Precisely.
But is the open source voice AI actually good enough to replace an InWorld or an 11 Labs in production?
Well, the open source community has closed the gap remarkably fast. The standout in the 2026 sources is a text-to-speech model called Kokoro 82M.
Kokoro, yeah, I saw that reference. The 82M stands for 82 million parameters, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a non-technical executive, what does that actually mean in terms of deployment?
Parameters are essentially the size of the AI's engine. A model with hundreds of billions of parameters requires massive, incredibly expensive server farms to run. An 82 million parameter model is brilliantly lightweight. It means the engine is so small that you can host it yourself on a single dedicated A100 GPU.
Okay, and how much is that?
You can rent an A100 from a cloud provider for about $1.04 per hour. When you run Kokoro on that hardware, your effective cost drops to roughly 70 cents per million characters.
Wait. 70 cents.
76.
Compared to the $120 11 Labs is charging.
Yeah.
That is absurd. But what about the quality? If I'm paying 70 cents, does it sound like a cheap robot?
Not at all. Kokoro is actually beating Amazon's flagship polygenerative voices in blind listening tests. It is highly natural, highly capable, and costs fractions of a penny at scale.
But self-hosting introduces an entirely different kind of cost, right? Operational risk.
Oh, of course.
Now I need DevOps teams. I have to maintain the servers, handle downtime, and most importantly, deal with traffic spikes. If we launch a new product and customer service calls spike by 400% in 1 hour, my fixed A100 GPUs are going to crash, and customers will just be talking to dead air.
Which is why the most sophisticated enterprises do not self-host 100% of their infrastructure.
Oh, they don't?
No, the playbook dictates a hybrid routing strategy.
Okay, explain that.
You self-host about 75 to 80% of your predictable baseline daily traffic. You use open source models like Qwen or Llama for the intelligence and Kokoro or Fish Speech for the voice.
So that handles a steady stream.
Right. Then you configure your load balancers so that any unpredictable burst traffic, that 400% spike you mentioned, automatically overflows into the commercial cloud APIs like Cartesia or InWorld.
Ah, I see.
You capture the massive cost savings of self-hosting for your baseline, but you use the infinite scalability of the commercial cloud as your safety net.
That is a phenomenal architectural blueprint, but, and there's always a but, we need to address a massive vulnerability in everything we've just discussed.
Let me guess. Healthcare.
Healthcare. Because if I'm applying this playbook to the healthcare companies in my holding portfolio, none of the cost math or the latency benchmarks matter if the technology violates data privacy laws.
Right. Compliance is the ultimate filter. And in healthcare, IPA compliance is a binary state. You either are or you aren't.
And according to the latest compliance documentation, there is a massive landmine regarding the newest native speech-to-speech tech. As of May 2026, the audio modality of the OpenAI real-time API is explicitly not covered under Microsoft Azure's or OpenAI's business associate agreement.
Their BAA, yeah. That is a critical distinction.
Right.
For developers, that means you legally cannot process protected health information, or PHI, through their native speech-to-speech endpoints.
But why? Azure covers OpenAI's text models under their BAA. Why is the audio suddenly untouchable for a healthcare application?
Because a native audio in, audio out model acts as a black box.
A black box.
Yeah. In a text-based pipeline, you can put intermediary software in the middle to scrub and redact sensitive information, like a social security number or a diagnosis before it hits the LLM.
You just filter the text string.
Exactly. But when you are streaming raw native audio directly into a multimodal model, it's incredibly difficult to audit, intercept, and redact that audio stream on the fly. Compliance officers despise black boxes.
That makes perfect sense.
So if you build a medical intake agent on the OpenAI real-time API right now, you are willfully out of compliance.
This raises an important question then. If I'm directing the CTO of my healthcare portfolio company today, how do I tell them to build a fully compliant, IPAI-safe voice agent?
You basically have two viable, legally sound architectures. Option A is to fall back entirely on the chained pipeline we discussed, built strictly within the Microsoft Azure ecosystem.
Okay.
You use the HiPAA eligible Azure speech to text to transcribe the patient. Because it is now in a text format, you can easily scrub the PHI. You send that clean text to a HiPAA eligible Azure LLM and synthesize the response with Azure text-to-speech.
If inauditable.
Exactly. It is a bit slower, but your BAA chain remains perfectly intact.
And option B, because I see 11 Labs has an enterprise tier specifically targeting this issue.
Option B is 11 Labs Zero Retention Mode, or ZRM. This is their direct answer to enterprise compliance.
Okay, what does ZRM actually do?
When you sign a BAA with 11 Labs and activate ZRM, it essentially becomes a burn after reading setting for voice AI. They guarantee they will not store the audio, they will not save the transcripts, and they do not keep system logs of the interaction.
That sounds perfect.
Mm.
But there is a technical catch to ZRM, isn't there? I can't just wire it up to any LLM I want.
Right. To guarantee that patient data isn't leaking into unauthorized, non-compliant third-party models, ZRM strictly restricts which LLMs you can wire into your agent.
It locks you in.
You are locked out of the broader open market. 11 Labs only allows you to route data to specific HIPAA-approved LLMs that they have secured data agreements with, primarily the Google Gemini 1.5 and 2.0 Flash series. If your developers try to route a ZRM agent through an unapproved model, the API will literally block the call and throw an error.
Wow, okay. We have covered an immense amount of strategic ground here. We've mapped the fragmentation of the market, proving 11 Labs is no longer the default for everything.
Yep.
We've exposed the compounding cost trap of native audio APIs, the margin-saving power of prompt caching in chained pipelines, and the exact token math for when to start self-hosting.
It's a lot to process.
And we highlighted the BAA black box that makes OpenAI real-time a liability for healthcare. So let's synthesize all of this. If I'm the founder looking at my CTO tomorrow, What are the four distinct directives I give them based on this 2026 intelligence?
All right, directive one. If a portfolio company is in the early stages of rapid piloting SOAP processing under 10,000 minutes a month and just trying to validate product market fit, tell them not to build custom infrastructure.
Keep it simple.
Mandate they use a middleware orchestration platform like Voppy or Retell. Pay the slight markup to test the workflow quickly before committing capital.
Understood. Directive two. If I own a brand-forward luxury or media company where the emotive performance is the actual product, high-end concierges, celebrity voice cloning, audiobooks pay the premium for 11 labs, the emotional nuance of their V3 model justifies the margin hit.
Spot on. Directive three. For high-scale transactional voice agents like your massive customer support centers, optimize exclusively for a flat-cost architecture.
The chained pipeline.
Mandate InWorld or Cartesia for synthesis, couple it with DeepGram Nova 3 for transcription, and wire it all together in a chained pipeline. That allows you to leverage LLM prompt caching, keeping your permanent costs flat no matter how complex the call gets. And once they cross 10 million tokens a month, transition them to a hybrid self-hosted model using Kokoro.
Got it. And finally, directive four. For healthcare, never use the OpenAI native real-time audio API. Strictly mandate 11 labs in zero retention mode paired with Google Gemini, or build a fully auditable chained Azure stack under a BAA.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that is the definitive 2026 playbook. It protects your margins, secures your data, and leverages the absolute best of the current landscape.
It is a phenomenal roadmap. So what does this all mean? Well, before we wrap up this deep dive, there's one last concept from our sources I want you, the listener, to mull over.
Oh, this is a good one.
We spent a lot of time talking about Cartesia pushing the latency of their AI down to an incredible 40 milliseconds. It is a technological marvel to generate audio that fast. But think about how human beings actually communicate.
We aren't that fast.
No. We pause to process information. We use filler words. We hesitate when we're thinking deeply. As your holding company's voice infrastructure becomes literally faster than human thought, will your developers actually need to artificially engineer latency, pauses, and hesitation back into your AI agents? Because if they don't, you might find that your customers are deeply intimidated by an intelligence that responds unnaturally fast.